to be His hand extended. If you will turn with me over to the 8th chapter of Matthew, you'll begin reading with verse 1. It said, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Want us to consider this morning that this man who was a leper was, because of his physical condition, was someone who had in essence been ostracized from society. Someone that had leprosy, you don't touch them. You don't want to. This man might have gone years without someone coming up to him and putting their arm around him saying, and I love you. There is something that the physical touch does that cannot be replaced. Parents, your children need those physical hugs. There have been times in my life that words were incapable of ministering to me, but someone come along and just put their arm around me just to let you know they love you, and it ministers in a way that words cannot. Consider having gone years without being touched. No physical contact. And I have this vision in my mind, I've shared it different times, but I can just see Peter jumping in the middle of this situation. When here comes the leper, and you don't touch them, they were unclean. And he comes along and I can see Jesus just starting to reach out to touch this man. And Peter jumping in the middle saying, Lord, don't touch him. Don't touch him. He has leprosy. You might get contaminated. Well, the Bible doesn't say he did, but I can see Peter doing it. But yet Jesus did something that was contrary to the norm. He was willing to reach out and minister through not only His healing power, but through His divine touch. He was willing to reach out and touch someone that no one else was willing to touch. Jesus did what other people shunned to do. Well, over in the 10th chapter of Acts in verse 38, it said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus had a ministry of doing good to other people. And Jesus was someone, the Scripture says, that He was a friend to who? He was a friend to sinners. He was a friend to people that the righteous of the time had ostracized and cut off and said, we don't want anything to do with you. But yet we find that Jesus, just like He did with the leper, He reached out His hand to minister to those kinds of people. Because it's not those that are whole that need a physician, it's those that are sick. It's those that have needs in their life that are in need of someone to come along and touch them. Someone to come along and say, I want to be here for you. Do you know there are so many needs in this world today? And when you begin to communicate with people and people begin to open up with their problems, frankly, I don't have all the words to give. I don't have the solutions myself to give to some of the difficult places that people find themselves in. But I do know someone that's able to minister to them. And when Jesus, He's not walking this earth anymore, but there are still people who long to have the touch of someone's love. There are people tonight, this morning, that are hurting. That you may look, they may be right among us. And I know a lot of people like this. They come to service and you can look on thinking they've got everything together. Their home is happy, they're on fire for God, and they're hurting inside with problems that you may not have a clue about. Those people need someone to still communicate, I love you and I care about you and I'm here for you. There are people that we go to school with, that we work with. The grocer in the grocery store, the clerk that's kind of not going along real fast and just kind of bumbling when the long line's there. And it starts to make you think, you know, why do you move things along? You don't know what's going on in their life. And rather than a sharp word or impatience, what difference mightn't it make in their life for you to respond with some kind words? To reach out and touch when everybody else is being vexed and tried, for you to be different, to reach out and minister to them with your love. Jesus ministered in a very practical way. Jesus fed the multitudes. He visited the sick. He was not someone that was exclusive and isolated himself from the problems of the world. Rather, Jesus sought them out and he went to where he could minister to hurting people. Well, Jesus, although he is here in spirit, I wonder who is going to reach out and touch the leper this morning. Who is going to be the one to reach out and minister to those that are hurting? Who is going to be willing to reach out and touch the person that is spiritually defiled, that others have cut off? Who is going to be the one to say, I love you. I don't want leprosy. I don't want to get it, but yet there should be a power greater than leprosy. There is a power this morning that is greater than unrighteousness. There is a power greater than compromise. And there is a power that is greater than fanaticism, and that is a righteous walk with God, that the love of God within you can keep you from getting leprosy. But are we willing to put ourselves in a position to reach out and be the hand of God, to reach out to those that have needs this morning? If we're not careful, we will go into protectionist mode. We will begin to isolate ourselves because we don't want leprosy, we don't want to be defiled, and so we stay within these four walls. But yet Jesus, the commission he gave to us was go out into the world and preach the gospel. And there are some people in my life that we haven't been able to preach Jesus to them, but I was able to show them the love of Jesus Christ. That has a way of opening doors. People in your life that you may say they're not interested. They may be more interested than what you know. They need someone to show them the love of God. It's one thing for us to come and hear theology, and there's a place for it. There is something for us to come and hear what the Bible says, but it's something else to go out into the world and demonstrate the practical faith in Jesus Christ that moves us to reach out to those that have needs in our life. Amen. Jesus did not come for us to stay within these four walls and understand the theology. He wants this to do something practical in our life. He wants the Word of God to be living in us, that when we go out to face the world, then it makes a difference in how we relate with people. It makes a difference in what we do with our time and our money and what our purpose and goals and dreams in life are about. It ought to be focused on other people. Over in Ephesians in the second chapter. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. You see, we focus, and I love verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a free gift of God. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do. Following a list of good rules and good moral conduct will never save our soul. That is a gift of God. But we can't stop there. We can't stop. He went on to say, it's not of works. If you find your salvation in works, you have missed the point this morning. We are saved by the blood of Jesus, but yet if we have been saved, it is going to make a practical difference in our life. And so he went on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I want to challenge and encourage us this morning, let us go and walk in good works. They don't save us. But I'll tell you this, they can steal your salvation if you don't do it. See, we're not saved by good works, but it can steal the work that God has done in us, because God saved us for a purpose. He saved us that we could be ambassadors for Him, that we could be His hand extended, reaching out to people that have needs in their life. There is a song that says, "Oh, to be His hand extended." Reaching out to who? To the oppressed. And then the song goes on, I believe, to say, "Let me touch Him. Let me touch Jesus." Why? So that I can reach out to others that have needs. Folks, we don't have anything to offer to people unless we are in contact with God. But if we are in contact with God, we have been divinely commissioned to go and be His hand, reaching out to the leper, reaching out to the ostracized, reaching out to those that are hurting. And if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Someone that's not touching Jesus. But do you know that we have a ministry this morning? And it concerns me sometimes when people think about ministry, they think about up here. You know, the greatest ministry is being done when you go to work. The greatest ministry is going to be done when you go to school. The greatest ministry is done outside of the pulpit. And too many times we think, well, that's the ministry. God has called all of us to be ministers this morning. And if we try to isolate our relationship with God from the work that God has for us to do, we've missed the mark. The Lord wants our entire life to be about service to other people. The Lord wants our entire life to be about reaching out on the hand of God, that when people come in contact with us, they would see the love of Christ. I remember reading a story years ago about a boy. He was on his way home from school and his hands were piled with books. He cleaned out his locker and he was on his way home. And someone came along, some other boys came along and knocked the books out of his hand. They just scattered everywhere. And there was another boy that saw what happened. And he came up to me and said, "Let me help you." And he helped the young man pick up his books. And he walked home with this boy. He became a friend to him. Talked to him. Just didn't know what was going on in his life, but he became a friend. And years later, when they graduated, that boy whose books had been knocked out of his hands, he told his friend, he said, "You don't know what you did for me that day." He said, "I was on my way home to commit suicide." He said, "I didn't have any friends. Nobody cared about me." And he said, "I cleaned out my locker and I was going to go home and commit suicide. But," he said, "you reached out and you helped me." And he gave him a purpose for living. And you know that boy, he never witnessed to him about Jesus. He never told him, "You need to be saved and repent." But what he did was reached out his hand and showed love to somebody. And that made a difference in that boy's life. You know, this morning there are going to be things that you do not have the wisdom to deal with all of the problems that are in the world. But all of us have been called to reach out our hand and minister in love to those that are hurting around us. Jesus said, "Freely ye have received, freely give." You know, it is an honor this morning to be the hand of Christ. You see, the Scripture teaches us that we are the body of Christ. And we ought to see it as an honor today to be the hand of God. To see someone that has need and think, I can minister to them. You see, this is what our faith should be about this morning. James said, over in the second chapter of James, let's turn and read. The second chapter of James, beginning with verse 14, said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" You see, now here we come to this whole balance. We're saved by grace. But we were also saved and created to do good works. And now James is saying here, he said, what does your faith profit you if you have faith but you don't have works? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? This morning, what does it profit us if we have all of the doctrine and we have the theology and we say we're in contact with God, but yet what does it mean if we fail to go out and minister in a practical way to this lost world? What is our faith good for? Folks, this is where the rubber meets the road spiritually. We can come to church and we can sing and we can pray and we can feel good about ourselves, but Jesus came and called us to be ministers. I remember years ago I was in another country and there was a group of people that wanted me to come have a ministers meeting with them, and there were probably at least 50 ministers there from different backgrounds. Began to talk to them about what it meant to minister. It means to be a servant. They didn't like it. Because there it was, you know, to be a minister, kind of something of prestige that kind of elevates you above the common man. Or I'm a minister. So that's not what it's about. To be a minister is to be a servant. You know, that's what we're called to today. How, if you don't mind my asking, how are you doing? How are you doing? See, we're not here just to feel good about ourselves. Is that right? So how are we doing? What does our life really consist of? What are we doing with our time this morning? What are we doing with our finances? What are we doing? What are we doing with our efforts? What do we want to see out of life? Jesus has called us to be ministers, to be His hand, to practically minister to the needs of other people. You see, this is the heart of the gospel. It's ministering to those that have needs. And ministry is about what happens out on the streets and on your job and with your neighbors. It's what's happening outside of these four walls. Are we the hand of Christ this morning? Are there people in our lives that we have just gone on maybe ignoring and maybe walking on the other side of the road when we see them so we won't get contaminated? So we don't have to get our hands dirty, because you know, people that are sick, it's not pleasant. They make messes. And someone has to clean it up. What are we here for? You say, well, they really made a mess. Well, I'll pray for them. Who is going to be there to say, may I help you? I want to be the hand of Christ. And it means that I'm going to have to endure some things that aren't very pleasant sometimes. And you may come walking along and smell me and say, don't want to be around you. You don't smell real good yourself. Are you willing to put yourself in that place to reach out to someone who has a need this morning? You see, we have been called to ministry. We have been called to be the hand of Christ extended, reaching out to those around about us. Over in the 25th chapter of Matthew, we have a very practical parable that Jesus told. The 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 31. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And the King shall say unto them on His right, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want us to take note before we read further. that different passages of Scripture are given to bring out a point. If we read about the judgment scene in the book of Revelation, the focus is those who are not, whose names are not written in the book of life. The focus is those that have committed moral transgression. That's the focus of that judgment scene. But here we have another focus, and the focus is practical works. Do you realize that we are going to be judged on that this morning? We can say, oh, well, my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but why did the Lord save us? He saved us that we could go and do something practical for people that have needs around us. And so Jesus said this, and if you don't like it, take it up with God, because I'm just going to read it. But He said, I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Do you notice Jesus didn't even say, I was sick, and you prayed for me, and I was healed? You think, well, I don't see the healings that I like, so I guess I don't have anything to offer. No, Jesus said, I was sick, and you came, and you visited me. And He said, I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee to drink? And He went on, and the king shall answer and said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. This is one of the things that we are going to be judged on this morning. You see, Jesus saved us to minister. He saved us to be inconvenience for the benefit of someone else. And we can get so busy in our own little comfort zone that sometimes I think we fail to be the hand of Christ extended like God wants. Say, how can I serve? You can serve by visiting the sick. And those that don't have clothing, giving them clothes. And those that are thirsty, giving them to drink. Do you know, some of these things are the dregs of society. You're in prison. You don't have a home. You don't have clothes. You're hungry. You need to get a job. You see, that's not what Jesus said. He said there were people that had needs. And He said, you can enter into heaven because you went and you ministered to those people. And we sit sometimes in our pew saying, if the Lord would just show me a place to minister. Are there places and people in your lives that need ministry? See, we are interested in ministering the hope of the gospel, aren't we? But how can we share Jesus unless we show them first the love of God? We had a neighbor, man, he began to get sick and he began to have some problems, and they were not church people. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't have any kind of religious profession, didn't go to church anywhere. My wife and I had gone over different times and visited with him, and I asked him if we could sing him a song and have prayer with him, and they guardedly said yes. You know, come special occasions, my wife would make cinnamon rolls. She'd bake, take things over to him. You know, that's what opened up the door to even let us have prayer with him. Because someone made some cinnamon rolls and showed some interest. That we're not just here, you know, I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher. And I come minister to your soul. Get out of here. You know, people, they put you at arm's length, but you have some cinnamon rolls? See? You know, I'll take that. Cinnamon rolls opened up the door to prayer, folks. And we were sitting in their living room, and I'm thinking about Brother James saying he had someone's congregation say, my pastor can do anything. I can't do everything. But I sat there and I said, is there anything you all need? Anything I can do for you? Yes, we need a ramp built in the back for a wheelchair. I'm thinking, oh Lord, I'm not a carpenter. But guess what? I built a ramp. And it was solid. It wasn't going anywhere. It's the first one I've ever made. And now when I tell someone, is there anything you can do? I'm thinking, Lord, help it to be something I'm comfortable with. But do you know this? The man died before he was able to use it. Do you know who they called to come take care of his funeral? I was gone. I couldn't do it. I was out of the country. But I want to tell you, I want to keep on with the story. Had another neighbor man up the road. Same thing. Cinnamon rolls. Bread. Donuts on a snowy day. They thought the world of us. I'm thinking, they don't hardly know us. They like my wife's cooking. And so then they call when they need prayer. When they get, he began to face death's door himself, another neighbor. And I didn't have to build him a ramp. But we went to visit to him and had opportunity on multiple occasions to talk to the man about his soul. Had opportunity just a few weeks ago to take care of his funeral and tell a number of people, fairly large congregation of people, probably never entered a church door, was able to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ and what it means to have God in their life. How can we minister to people? You say, what can I do? I don't have the words to speak. You don't need the words to speak. If you can bake, you have a ministry. If you can visit someone and all you can do is just say, I'm sorry, I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. That's what people need, folks. It will open doors. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're rejected, but you will find when they get in trouble, do you know who they're going to call on? You showed me some love. You showed me some interest when everybody else was be warmed and filled. Are we willing to practically visit those in prison? Are we willing actively to give food to people that are hungry when we might with disdain say, get off welfare and get a job? They have needs in their life and they still need to get a job if they can. But the point is, who is going to be there to show them a better way? It's going to take love. Disdain does not win people to Christ. Disdain and looking down our spiritual nose at people, it does not win them to the Lord. But it's when we get down with them, not to get leprosy, but when there's a power that's greater than we ourselves inside that enables us to minister to people who are spiritually diseased as well as physically diseased. I know there are times people are sick and some people are scared to go pray for them because I might get it. I want to testify to you, I don't think I've ever gotten sick by going and visiting someone that was diseased and sick. I cannot remember one time I got sick. Because there's a power that's greater than that. But who's willing to say, the preacher? No, there's a sister in a congregation years ago. She said, Brother Michael, I read in the paper about someone who was in an accident and they're in the hospital. You ought to go visit them. And I thought, no, you go visit them. You have the burden for it. You go do it. Don't put it on your ministers. You're to be a minister, see? We're all to be ministers. We can do this. This is what it means to live for God. It means we're doing something practical. So practically, I just ask us again this morning, what are you doing? Are we being His hand? Cup of cold water. Cinnamon rolls. Build a ramp. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our first responsibility is to minister to those in the faith, but it extends beyond that. It extends to those that are destitute of spiritual blessings, the sick, the ostracized, the needy. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Speaking about God will not forget your labor of love. Folks, all of us here this morning have been called to be servants. We have all been called to ministry. We have all been called to be the hand of Jesus extended in a very practical way. Do you get that this afternoon? Do you get that this morning? I mean, do we really understand this is very practical? Even if there are some things, well, what if they ask me about that theological? No, go show them the love of God. Go do what you can do. See, we're not going to be judged based on what we cannot do. I don't have the ability to solve world hunger, but I have the ability to feed a few children that are hungry. I have the ability to reach out to those that are around me, and I don't have the solutions for everybody's needs, but I have something to offer those that I come in contact with. Folks, this is practical, and I want to leave you with a challenge. I don't know, I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you will be willing to go and do something about this mess and say, "Yeah, that was real good. I don't even know if you think that." But the point being that you say, "Yeah, that's right. That's true." What are we going to do with it? Can we go home and say, "Lord, with your help, I'm going to do something different. Lord, by your help, there's someone I know I could be your hand and extend it out to them. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to go." We say, "Well, I can't afford to drive very far." Have you ever heard people have gas money problems? I shared this at home. I mentioned this at home the other day, but go through McDonald's and spend $6. But I can't drive over there because it's going to cost me $6 worth of gas. Can't afford it. We'll go to Taco Bell for $1 and then you can still go and do what God wants you to do. You get the point? We do what we want to do, and it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some doing some things. But folks, there's work for us to do. And we need to do it. I want to challenge you. Some of the greatest rewards and blessings in life are found in serving other people. And you may never see the depth of the effect that it has on their life when you just visit. When you call, you take them some cooking, do something for them. I'd encourage us this afternoon to go and be the hand of Jesus extended. Let's go and do something practical with our faith this morning. Do you believe? Then go and demonstrate your faith in God by visiting the sick, by giving to those that do not have. Very practically, through those avenues, we are able to reach out and spread the love of Jesus Christ. And through that kind of touch, folks, there comes healing in people's lives. Amen.